Welcome to Maru Methodist Church's Sanctuary Service, brought to you from our beautiful historic sanctuary in downtown Tyler. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. We appreciate your participation in this morning's broadcast and pray that God's message will speak to you in a beautiful way. Let's join in as the message has already begun.
So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. If you've talked to me for 10 minutes or more, you probably know that I've played soccer for a lot of my life. Soccer is a very team-oriented sport. You win the game by scoring more goals than your opponent. You accomplish this goal by uplifting and supporting your teammates. Some ways I uplift and support my teammates when I play soccer are passing the ball to them so that they can score, or running when they have the ball to be an option to pass back to me. Another way that I support my teammates in soccer is by playing my own position. For example, if I was playing goalie and I was on the other end of the field trying to score, my team would probably lose because we would have no one defending our net. The church, just like my soccer team, is a team. Sometimes teammates disagree with each other. Our sermon text is an example of a disagreement in the early church. Galatians 3:28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." But why is Paul saying this? Why does Paul feel the need to point out that everyone who believes in Christ is one in the body of Christ? See, there was division within the church in Galatia. This division was caused by a group of Christians called the Judaizers. The Judaizers caused this division by preaching a false gospel. The false gospel that they were preaching was that they told the Galatians that they are not only saved by the blood of Jesus, but that in order to be fully saved, they had to adhere to Jewish tradition and follow Jewish law. They were preaching a works-based salvation, as opposed to the faith-based salvation that is seen throughout Scripture. Paul disagreed with them by saying that everyone who believes in Jesus is a son of God. He also reminded the Galatians that the Holy Spirit came to them by faith and not by the law. It is the same for us today. We receive the Holy Spirit and are sanctified or made like Christ through faith. The Holy Catholic Church, meaning all believers, are sanctified through faith. And I believe, as a personal theory of mine, I have no evidence to back this up, that when God looks down at us, he doesn't see a group of Methodists and a group of Catholics and a group of any other denomination you may think of. I think when he looks down at us, he sees his children. He sees our faith and not our denomination. Which this theory kind of got me thinking, what even is a denomination? The Cambridge Dictionary defines a denomination as a religious group that has slightly different beliefs from other groups that share the same religion. It's important to note that these groups share the same religion, meaning they worship the same God. The different beliefs that create denominations range anywhere from secondary theological differences all the way to less important things like worship music preferences or what the order of worship looks like. The important thing that unifies these denominations in the midst of their differences is that they worship and believe in the triune God, they believe in the virgin birth, and they believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We proclaim that we believe all of these things in the Apostles' Creed every week. Another thing that we proclaim in the Apostles' Creed is that we believe in the Holy Catholic Church. It's important to note that the Holy Catholic Church, as referenced in the Apostles' Creed, is not talking about the denomination of Roman Catholics. The Holy Catholic Church, or in other words, the Holy Universal Church, means the community of all believers. Jesus Christ gave birth to one church, not many denominations, but one church. Earlier, I talked about Paul and the Judaizers. Another story of division within the early church is between Paul and Barnabas. This disagreement is found in Acts chapter 15. Paul and Barnabas are arguing about who to take with them when they revisit the churches they have already ministered to. Barnabas wants to take Mark with them. Paul disagreed with him because Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia. Eventually, Paul and Barnabas agreed to disagree and parted ways with each other. Barnabas took Mark to minister to the people of Cyprus, while Paul took Silas and they went through Syria and Cilicia. Mark would later go on to write the Gospel of Mark. And even after their disagreement, Paul writes highly of Barnabas in 1 Corinthians 9:6. Paul also writes highly of Mark in Colossians 4:10 and 2 Timothy 4:11. Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." This verse is important because Paul is pointing out that all Christian believers have the same Holy Spirit living inside of them. And since we all have the same Holy Spirit living inside of us, we are all one in the body of Christ. And in my human body, I have no competition. If my left foot and my right foot were competing with each other, I would not be able to walk. If my lips and my tongue were in competition with one another, I would not be able to talk. And just like there is no competition in the human body, there should also not be any competition within the body of Christ. If the body of Christ, the Holy Catholic Church, is in competition with itself, then it cannot accomplish its goal, which is the salvation of the world. Not only should we not compete with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we should be well connected to them. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, Paul writes, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." He says, "each one of you is a part of it." Paul uses inclusive language here on purpose. Paul doesn't say, "and each adult is a part of the body of Christ." He says, "each one of you," including the children. And as we saw last week, our children alone raised over $3,000. Children, you have a part to play here. The body, the human body, is connected to itself. And so I believe our church should also be connected to itself. And what I mean by this is we should do our best to be involved in different diverse parts of the church. It's good to come to the same service at the same time and sit in the same place and talk to the same people every week. That's how you build community. It's also good to be involved in other areas of the church. Some easy ways to do that here at Marvin are serving in the youth ministry or being a greeter on Sunday mornings. Sunday school is also a great way to be involved in various areas of the church. Two other great tools are Wesleyan bands and class meetings. A Wesleyan class meeting is a multi-generational and mixed-gendered weekly gathering of 10 to 15 people who share honestly about their spiritual journeys, encourage one another, and offer support in their walks with God. A Wesleyan band meeting is a weekly meeting of 3 to 5 same-gendered members that emphasize personal accountability, honesty, and the pursuit of holiness through mutual support and confession. If either of these two things sound interesting to you and you'd like to be plugged in, please talk to Pastor Mark Donaldson, and he can help you out with that. I have been leading the Young Adults Sunday School class every week this summer. I have met and built relationships with people inside of this class. Some of the people that I've built relationships with, I see more often than others. Some of them I see on Thursday nights at volleyball. Some of them I see on Sunday mornings just around the church. Other people that I built relationships with in that class, I only see in the Young Adult Sunday School class. If I was not connected to that class, I would not have built relationships with them. The way that I was connected at my home church in the Woodlands is a thing called Quest. Quest is a men's Bible study that meets at 6 a.m. on Tuesday mornings. which is, it's just too early. It's ridiculous. But at Quest, you show up and you sit around a table of 6 to 8 men, the same men every week, and a teacher will get up and he'll teach for 10 to 15 minutes, and you'll have about 5 minutes to answer some questions with your table. My men's Quest table are some of the first men that I told about my calling into ministry. Ever since I told them about it, they have been encouraging me and pushing me to continue to take steps in faith. Without their encouragement, I'm not sure I would have taken the step of faith to do this internship this summer. So men, thank you. Not only does the church serve best when it is connected, but it serves best when there is encouragement. One of my favorite verses about encouragement is Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. The first person that I think of when I think of somebody who convinces people to do good deeds is my grandpa, specifically my grandfather at UM Army. UM Army is a mission trip for high school students where you go to another church that is not your home church and you sleep on an air mattress for a week and you do physical labor. Most of the time, this looks like building a wheelchair ramp for somebody who cannot get out of their house. Sometimes it's building a fence or painting a house. My grandpa is like the UM Army guy. This summer was either his 23rd or 24th UM Army ever. And since he's so experienced and knows what he's doing, they put him in charge of a few work sites. And what he does to encourage his kids is he tries to get every single one of them Sonic at least once over the week. And while he's getting them Sonic, he uses it as an opportunity to encourage them to keep pushing. He tells them how good of a job they're doing, how surprised he is at how committed they are, and he even talks about how happy their homeowner is gonna be when they finish their project. Those of you that were volunteers at VBS received a very similar type of encouragement from Miss Sarah last week on Tuesday. At our volunteer meeting on Tuesday, after all the kids were gone, Miss Sarah encouraged all of us to just keep pushing. She told us, if our patience is running thin, if we're feeling a little bit tired, don't give up, just keep going. She also told us that on Wednesday morning, we were gonna have a coffee truck there so that we could get our favorite coffee. I don't know about y'all, but it definitely made it a little bit easier for me to wake up on Wednesday morning. When you're on a team, and the church is a team, you need to encourage one another. There are two forms of encouragement. There's proactive encouragement. This looks like seeing someone that's not already doing a good thing and encouraging them to go ahead and do it. There's also reactive encouragement. That is seeing or hearing about somebody that did a good thing and encouraging them to continue to do that. And everyone in the church can encourage people. Children, you have the power of encouragement. You encouraged me last week at VBS. Adults, you definitely have the power of encouragement. And if you don't know what to say, or you feel a little bit nervous, it can be as easy as a thank you, or a good job, or I believe in you. And even a thumbs up can be encouraging. And if we're going to be a church that encourages one another, we are also going to be encouraged at some point. When it is your turn to be encouraged, accept it with humility. I do not do a very good job of this. A lot of times when people try to encourage me or tell me I'm doing a good job, I brush it off. I say, you know, I missed that bullet point, I could have said this better, I stumbled over this, and I just brush it off. And if you're like me and you brush off encouragement too many times for too long, it might stop coming. That's not what anybody wants. Me and many of you participated in VBS this last week. We learned about how Jesus loved people and had lots of fun making Dr. Baker into a s'more. Our memory verse for the week was John 13:34. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Jesus encourages us to love one another all throughout the Gospels. But Jesus doesn't only tell us with his words how we should love one another, he shows us with his actions. A few of the ways that Jesus shows us to love one another are when Jesus washed his disciples' feet, when Jesus welcomed in the children, and when Jesus died to forgive us of our sins. Jesus encourages us to love one another. And it's really hard to love somebody that you don't know. And that is why it's important to be involved in the church. I have established that I believe that the church is a team, and that although we may disagree, we can encourage each other always. And if you have a team, that means you likely have a goal to achieve, or in other words, a way to win. So how does the church, the Holy Catholic Church, win? The church wins when faith grows. The church wins when people are saved. The church wins when we encourage one another. And finally, the church wins when we make disciples of all nations. Amen.
Thank you, Justin. What a blessing you going to be to the Global Methodist Church. We look forward to following you as you move. He's only 20 years old, y'all. He's still in college, so grateful.
Most gracious and loving God, we ask that you make us more aware of your presence with us here and now, as we have gathered together to worship and praise you, Lord. God, throughout your holy scriptures, you've said a lot about unity, about the way we, as your people, relate to one another. God, you say how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. You say, above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. You say, maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And these are just a few of the many mentions of calling us to be of one accord. God, we thank you so much for the beautiful opportunity that Marvin Church has had this past week to truly live that unity out. God, we got to come together for Vacation Bible School, having people of all generations gathered, singing and learning about the good news of Jesus Christ. God, we also got to be a part of Love Thy City yesterday, where 52 different churches came together for one big event to love on our city. God, we thank you for the many different opportunities that we get to experience this unity in Christ with our brothers and sisters of the faith. But God, we also recognize that we still at times fall short and we sin, which interrupts this unity that you have called us to. We confess that too often we fail to act in ways that bring greater unity, and instead we act in ways that create, or even worse, deepen division. This division even within our own family, friends, and loved ones. And so, God, we ask that you forgive us and lead us by the power of your Holy Spirit to truly put on the love of Christ, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Lord, we also ask that you continue to be with everyone that's been affected by the flooding in Central Texas. God, let your peace and comfort that surpass all understanding be fully felt and truly known. And God, continue to show us ways in which we can love and support them. God, we thank you for leading us to help others that are in need, to show them your love and your support, to be your hands and feet. God, we give you thanks and we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, in the glory forever. Amen.
Jesus, you're anointed one.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. I want to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block from the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please use the QR code on the screen for online giving or send a gift to 300 West Irwin Street, Tyler, Texas, 75702. Thanks again for joining us and have a great day.